Thank you, Ira Kaufman podcast listeners and Ira fans. This is a Memorial Day edition of the Ira Kaufman podcast. We hope you enjoy it. Still two more to come this week. Just wanted to get you something on the holiday so you can enjoy it or for your drive to work on Tuesday. Everybody who subscribes on Apple Podcasts, Podbean, Google Podcasts, Podcast Addict, and more. We appreciate the many thousands of listeners and those who listen right at joebucksfan.com. Thank you, thank you, thank you. The podcast continues to grow. And it is storm season now, officially June 1st, right? Hurricane season. You've got to remember Florida's elite restoration. Anytime you have a disaster in your home, that's your first phone call. Flood, fire, mold. Florida's EliteRestoration.com. They'll respond quickly, and they've got a special offer you'll hear about later. Buccaneers fans, happy Memorial Day weekend on the Ira Kaufman podcast. And he's here. He is here. The 93-year-old sage of Tampa Bay sports, the Baron of Big Storm Beer, Mr. Bill Curry Ford himself, the king of Newport Richie, Uncle Ira, the custodian of Canton. Plenty to talk about, Ira, and all the fun is presented by Bill Curry Ford, Tampa's first family of Ford. That's where you want to get to buy your new Ford Edge, new F-150, new Bronco. You can order them at BillCurryFord.com or head down to the dealership. Great pre-owned selection. Now is the time. General Manager Sean Sullivan has incredible deals for you. It starts with a $500 gift card for ordering a new vehicle, plus $500 in Ford bonus cash. And Bill Curry Ford is doubling that cash. So it's $2,000 altogether, Ira, and you get the nationwide lifetime warranty on new and used vehicles, and you get the Ira Kaufman discount, BillCurryFord.com. That's where it starts. GM Sean Sullivan, host of the Best in Class podcast at JoeBucksFan.com. He's going to talk to you, help you in any way he can. It's fantastic at Bill Curry Ford. That's where you start your shopping experience. And Big Storm Beer, send us pictures of your Big Storm beer as you enjoy it on the beach this weekend. We love that. At Joe Bucks Fan on Twitter. Maybe it's a Bromosa, top seller for Big Storm, and we highly recommend it. Wavemaker Amber Ale, Palm Bender, IPA, all the beers are at BigStormBrewery.com. BigStormBrewery.com. And of course, you can get plenty of takeout food at Big Storm Clearwater on your way to the beach, or just enjoy great music and dining at all the tap rooms, Odessa, Cape Coral, Orlando, at the Amway Center, Ybor City coming soon, BigStormBrewery.com. I can't wait to see the sage stuffing his face there later this year. It's always a fine sight. Ira, we got plenty to talk about. How are you? What's the plan? Are you going to be showing off your svelte physique?
We got a little poker game, our bi-monthly poker game, Steve. Three couples. We rotate the houses that we play at. And then, of course, there's food. Everybody brings a little something. Little something, Lee.
Mega Doritos, right, Ira?
and the great part, Lee, you can't lose more than like $40 as a couple. So that's the way we do it. You get, you get a certain amount of chips. Everybody starts with the same amount. You know, you play for an hour and a half. And when the clock stops, you see who's got the most chips. And that's the big winner. Lee, I have a knack of getting a bad beat. I'm the king of the bad beats, Lee, and I'll give you an example.
I know where the bad beat is.
I'll give you an example, Lee. I had like a 7 and a 9 as my whole cards, and then on the last card on the flop, I filled in the straight. I got it. I got the straight. And betting up a storm, and when it came
all time, those quarters.
Yeah, all those chips, and came time to flip it, show them. And she had four fours, Lee. Four fours. I mean, you can't expect that, Lee. And look, there were a pair of fours on board, so I thought, all right, maybe she's got three fours. I got her beat. Steve, I can't deal with that. I can't deal with that.
I don't know how you play poker when you're raising the equivalent price of a bag of Cheetos. It sort of takes the excitement out of it. But I get it, Ira. Fun times. The sage knows how to party. That was the voice of Lee DeCamper talking to Ira. I'm Steve Isbitz of JoeBucksFan.com. We appreciate all the subscribers to the podcast. Leave a review. Obviously, if you're listening on this happy weekend, you love the podcast. So leave us a review. Why not? The sage reads those. And we love all the profanity that's hurled our way. That's always nice.
Steve, hold on. I want to start with something on Sean Sullivan at Bill Curry Ford, 1 mile north of the stadium. The guy lives and breathes Bucks. He's a draft guru, but based on what Steve just rolled out in terms of what's going on at Bill Curry Ford, the first thing this guy thinks of every morning is different incentives and different ways to satisfy customers. I mean, the guy's fantastic at it.
That new showroom's really pretty. The white floor, they have a white floor. It looks like you're walking on a pearl floor, just snow white. It's beautiful. And they have a funky lighting system. Almost looks like you're in a casino. I actually said that to Sean. I said, looks like I'm in a Vegas casino. He laughs. He goes, it does.
Ira, the former body shop is actually going to become the Ira Kaufman Museum. So, you know.
Across the creek? Yeah.
That'll be Mark.
Memorabilia, Steve. I got memorabilia.
March 2023, that opens up. All right, Sage, look, I didn't mention this last podcast, but it needs your wisdom here. Tom Brady was on the NBA on TNT tip-off show, and he's sitting there with Charles Barkley and the whole crew there, Kenny and Shaq, Ernie Johnson, and Brady brought something up. He was having some fun, and he brought up money, you know, saying, oh, you know, how he's not making Aaron Rodgers kind of money. And then Barkley threw it back at him, kind of said, well, you know, hey, speaking of money, you shouldn't be complaining. You've got this big broadcasting deal kind of thing. And Brady, rather than saying, oh, I'm really excited to join Fox after my career. They're wonderful at Fox. Here he is on this, you know, highly rated broadcast. And he changes the subject, looked very uncomfortable, didn't even want to say the word Fox or I'm excited when that transpires down the road. Nothing. It almost looked like he might be having second thoughts, and that's sort of been Brady's MO this year. What do you think of that?
Well, Steve, it goes to your initial reaction, which I was a little shocked when you said it, but you kind of implied like this is much ado about nothing. He may never get there in the booth, and if he does, he's not going to stay there very long. You did your best to piss on it over there, Steve. I ended up talking to Troy Aikman and Joe Buck about it, asking them how they thought he would do. They said, would you bet against Tom Brady in any endeavor? I mean, that's a hell of an answer. Lee, whatever he does, he goes full force. That's what he does. He doesn't go half-assed. Very interesting what Steve just said. He wanted to change the subject, didn't want to talk about Fox. Lee, if I'm Fox, I ain't too thrilled with that answer.
Sure sounds like he doesn't have the contract signed.
I don't know. Lee, did you get the impression, talking with Devin White, it's sort of a foregone conclusion at one buck place among the players, among Brady's peers, that this will be his last year in Tampa?
I don't know so much if Devin White was saying the players are thinking that, but individually, the players sure seem to think that.
Ira, how could they not think it's his last year? I mean, the guy retired, he comes back, he's got a year left on his deal. Jason Light's not even putting out there any sort of flame that that they're offering him a massive contract extension. That may come at some point, just to tease him a little bit. But how could they not? You have to look at this year as gravy, one extra year. I think that's fair to say, but it also, I think Shaq Barrett spoke to the letdown, the eventual letdown of whenever Brady does leave. Shaq sort of was depressed, speaking at the podium, talking about how, well, you know, he knew it was a possibility Brady would come back, then he was just very excited because he knows that even though the other quarterbacks are good, he didn't mention Denver specifically, but that's the only other place he's been. He mentioned how when he was in Denver, they had a main guy, Peyton Manning, and then he left and they tried to fill the void and, you know, they went 9-7. And that sucks after a Super Bowl year. But he essentially was comparing Trevor Siemian to Kyle Trask, and it was a fair comparison because Siemian was the third string quarterback when Manning won the Super Bowl there, and he never threw a pass before he became the starter the following year. So, you know, Shaq and these other guys, they know that when Brady goes, man, that next year, unless they go get a big free agent gun, is going to be a major letdown.
You know, you're wondering who might be out there in 2023. You know, I've been saying, Lee, that Brady's replacement is not on the current roster. I still believe that. I do. I think they'll go big game hunting if there's any big games names out there next February, next March. We shall see. Lee, and I'm going to address this to you two guys, and I think it's amazing. And I think this is like the ultimate testament to number 12. You know one thing we never talk about? We never discuss it, even as a possibility. Guys, and it's remarkable at Brady's stage of his career and his age. We never talk about the possibility, and I mean like a 5% possibility, whatever you want to put on it, the possibility that Brady's not very good this season. I mean, you always talk about father time, Lee. We saw what happened with Peyton Manning. At the end, it was a defensive team. It wasn't a Peyton Manning-led team. He was a supporting player. Lee, we never talk about the possibility of age creeping up on Brady. And quite frankly, Lee, based on the last 2 years, we don't really have a reason to believe it's going to happen. But, Lee, it's out there. It could happen, Lee. It could happen.
It could happen, but the verb that you used is perfect. Creeping. For Brady to go and have a year this year, possibly his last, similar to Peyton Manning's last year, that's a massive drop-off. Because remember, Brady at 44 led the league in passing. That's just wild. So could he be worse? Yeah, but his worst is still better than 20 other quarterbacks.
I guess I mean, Steve, his body could break down, but then we hear him say he's in great shape. I mean, everything sounds pretty positive in that area.
Like you said, there's no evidence that Brady is slipping and, you know, he's top of his game and all the stuff that everybody sees. The medical side of it, I don't know. If he takes a bone-crushing shot and breaks a rib and needs X amount of weeks to come back, I don't know if he might heal slower at this age. If he has serious ankle, I don't really know the medical side of that. Obviously, he's superhuman and defies a lot of any norms, but there really is no reason. He's never given any evidence. So, I mean, Brett Favre went from a superstar with the Vikings and fell off the map in a hurry. So it can happen. And that was a hell of a season Favre had, you know, essentially one play from the Super Bowl at 41 or 42. But it just doesn't seem likely with Brady.
It is remarkable, isn't it, Lee? And you got to give the Bucs credit. The O-line, which you were praising in our previous podcast. Let's be honest, guys. He hasn't taken a lot of direct hard shots. He just hasn't. And the few times he has, Buck fans can't breathe. Jason Light can't breathe. The Glazers reach for the Maylocks and the Tums. But, Lee, it hasn't happened where he's really been blasted. Thank God.
Like Steve said, it only takes one shot.
Say,
then you're looking at Blake Gabbert.
Yeah, don't say that. It makes me nervous.
I know.
Ira, I got to throw this out there for you, because as I've been digging and digging on the Bucks and even watching some old games, you know, this is kind of an interesting one, and curious to see what you and Lee think. You know, next-gen stats, we like those stats. We like those guys because it's all technology-based statistics, completely objective. It's tracking sensors and equipment, and you know they're tracking all kinds of stuff, 92% of which the NFL doesn't release to fans. One day they will, but you get a little bit on the NFL.com website. There's some charts to review and all that stuff. So the NFL Next Gen Stats says, Ira, that Leonard Fournette faced an 8-man box just 13.33% of the time last season. And Fournette, you know, when he got here, it was one of the first things he said at his news conference was like, oh man, I can't wait to not run against a stacked box anymore. Tom Brady's here. We got receivers. This is going to be great. And it turns out in Jacksonville, he did actually run in 2019 against an 8-man box 31% of the time versus 13% last year. So fast forward, Ronald Jones, though, last year faced a stacked box where Lenny was 13%. Jones was at 22.75%. So who's going to absorb those carries this year? We think it's going to be workhorse Lenny for the money that they're paying him and the fact that he is their only real top shelf proven number one back. He's going to have a tougher go of it this year. Ira, what do you make of that?
He might have a slightly tougher go, but the fact remains, unless Todd Bowles is going to monkey around with this offense, and I don't think he will to a significant extent, they throw the ball 2 out of 3 snaps. I mean, that's what they do. It's what they did last year, 66%, 67, 2020, wasn't far off from that. You got Tom Brady. You're not going to face a stacked box to a large degree when you got Tom Brady back there. Brady wants to throw the ball, and that's what they do. Unless you think Arians being removed from the picture, which he has been to a significant degree in terms of game planning, Lee, unless you think that's going to markedly change that pass-run ratio, and Bowles will have an influence on that, I don't see anybody that's carrying the ball for the Bucs facing too many stacked boxes. I know that Jones was 22%, this guy was 13%. But, Lee, those are still small percentages. They're small, particularly small with Fournette. 13%? What do you, you know, what do you think the number was for Derrick Henry when he was carrying the ball 30 times? It was probably 50%.
How much more stack boxes will they see in Godwin's absence, with Gage being a question mark now? Gronk, we think's coming back, but we don't know. How much more? Let's just stick with Godwin, because Godwin's a known fact. How much more stacked boxes may they see with Godwin being out?
See, now that's a fair point. That is what could affect how often this team runs the ball. And Bowles doesn't mind running the ball, and Arians likes to air it out. But you're right. We don't know about Godwin. Lee, you were there. I gather you didn't get any more information about Godwin's rehab. We know Booger McFarlane's out there talking about Thanksgiving. Buck fans don't want to think about that, Steve. They shudder at that thought. Now Gage is a little banged up. We don't know about Gronk. We think we know about Gronk, but it hasn't happened. So the only sure element right now is Mike Evans, who's in his prime. But you need more than that. And right now, their receiving core looks like a shell of what they had last year, right now.
If you factor in the Gage being hurt right now, sure, it is May, though. And but, you know, also, as Lee could have added there easily, Antonio Brown. Now, he didn't play a ton of games last year, but guy that the defense is going to prepare a lot more for versus, Cyril Grayson. I don't know how the changes are going to be. I just thought that number was interesting. Also, as we say goodbye to Rojo here on the podcast, he led the NFL, per the Next Gen stats, led the NFL in least amount of time behind the line of scrimmage, meaning he hit the hole harder than anybody in the league.
You know, I hope that's true, because he's now on the Chiefs, gentlemen. and, you know, Lee, I don't put it past to win that job. Now, they got Clyde Edwards-Helaire. He's been okay. He hasn't been great. Late first-round pick. Everybody, myself included, Lee, thought he was a perfect pick for the Chiefs. The funny thing about it, Lee, he was a hell of a receiver out of the backfield in college.
Yeah.
And he's not catching a lot of balls. And he's getting hurt. Steve, Ronald Jones could win that job.
Wouldn't Ronald Jones have to really improve his pass catching and his pass blocking to win that job?
Well, I would say on the surface, yes. But for some reason, I thought Helaire would be catching 55 balls, and he's not. He's not. And as far as just running the football, I think Jones might be better than Helaire. Like you said, Lee, Jones is not a natural pass catcher and may never be. But he can run the football. Without Tyreek Hill, the Chiefs might need a little more balance.
Here's what always frustrated me about Rojo. And by the way, I wrote this one time last year. I got killed by some reader in the comments. Guy killed me. I said I thought Rojo was turning into a nice fullback because he did so well when he ran up the middle. And I got killed for that. But here's what frustrated me about Rojo. Ira, do you know he only scored one touchdown in his Bucs career outside the 8-yard line? And we all remember that one. That was a 98-yard run. All his touchdowns came within 8 yards or less.
You're
he
right.
was not a home run hitter at all. And that frustrated me about him. Early in his Bucs days, playoff Lenny, he scored from like about 38, 37 yards out. We saw last year, Keyshawn Vaughn, he hit like a 40-yard home run. Rojo couldn't do it. I don't know why. It wasn't like he's not quick. And as Steve points out, it's not like he couldn't hit the hole quick. Whatever reason, except for one run, he could not run a long touchdown. I don't know why that was.
That's very interesting. The scouting report on Ronald Jones turned out to be wrong, at least so far in his career. Now, look, nobody ever said he had soft hands or anything like that. But, Steve, the scouting report was he was a slasher and like a home run threat in college. Nobody talked about him being adept at running between the tackles. And it turned out, Steve, that's the way the Bucks used him. He didn't skirt the end very often, and he was not a home run hitter. So sometimes those scouting reports turn out to be a little inaccurate. Yeah.
Ira, summer's here, storm season is here, and that means you have to have Florida's EliteRestoration.com right there ready on your phone and on your laptop so you know who to call when there's a disaster. Florida's Elite Restoration has a $500 offer for Joe Bucks fan readers and Ira Kaufman podcast listeners, but you have to mention it if you use their service right up front. And what does that mean? That means you still get a free assessment in your home if you have a disaster, a fire, flood, storm damage, mold, whatever it might be. You call Florida's Elite Restoration, they're going to come out and check everything out in your home and your business, give you a full and thorough assessment, and work with you with your insurance company if it has to go that direction. But if you use their services, they will give you a $500 rebate or just $500 off. And you can use that for your deductible, or maybe that's just off your cash purchase.
You'd be foolish not to take advantage of that $500 offer from Florida's Elite Restoration. Smarten up. Take advantage. $500, Florida's Elite Restoration.
Very important to remember. Great savings in these times where everybody's trying to save some money. And Florida's Elite Restoration is top shelf, best in the business when it comes to restoration of your home or your business after a disaster. Florida's EliteRestoration.com. Sage, let me throw this by you guys. And I know this is going to sound harsh, but you brought it up, Ira, and I have to fire back. I have to let it loose here on the Ira Kaufman podcast.
Brace yourself, Ira.
At this point, am I being unfair? At this point with Gronk, with all the stuff he's been doing and hinting, and he's out at the New York Yankees complex playing baseball with Tom Brady. Meanwhile, Tom Brady is wearing on his left forearm a play sheet. Obviously, they were throwing some balls, or it was just one hell of a prop. But with all of the all the stuff that Gronk's been doing, wouldn't he be a grade A asshole if he didn't come back to the Bucks at this point? Now, Mike Florio of Pro Football Talk, it seems a little obsessed that maybe Gronk is holding out for more money, which is an interesting angle. But what do you think about those two things, Ira?
I really agree with you totally, Steve, but I do. My Gronk meter's up to 99. All signs point to him coming in. Lee, when he wants to come in, and Buck fans, you can all say it in unison. We don't have a problem with it. Lee, yeah. Brady doesn't have a problem with it, and Bowles isn't going to have a problem with it, and neither are the Glazers. This is a first ballot Hall of Famer. This guy helped the Bucks win a Super Bowl. He's a big game player. He helps the running game. We know what he is a red zone threat. And if you got to bend the rules a little bit for Rob Gronkowski, Lee, that's exactly what you do. Nobody will begrudge Gronkowski coming in for training camp. Now, if he misses training camp, Lee, I got a problem with that. I got a problem with that. I don't think that's going to happen. I mean, to me, that's a slap in the face at Bowles. You show up September 5th. I don't like that. You got to go to training camp, Lee. You got to get in shape. But even mandatory mini camp, he can't go if he's not signed. I'm okay with it. And more importantly, Buck Nation is okay with it. It would be a shocker if he's not a Buccaneer.
Yeah, all signs point to that. I don't think it would be a shock, at least not to me, if he showed up late August. And to me, it's pretty clear he doesn't want to get hit. And so he's going to avoid that as much as possible. I liken it to Michael Strahan. Michael Strahan did the same thing his last year. Oh, by the way, the Giants won a Super Bowl that year. And I liken it the same way. We've seen what Gronk can do for this team. We saw what Gronk cannot do when he comes in out of shape. But guess what? After about 2 months, guy looked like his old self. And oh, by the way, he scored two touchdowns in the Super Bowl. So I don't think the Glazers are going to get bent out of shape. I don't think Bowles is going to, you know, throw things through a wall. I don't think Jason Light's going to toss beer bottles around. And equally important, I don't think his teammates will have a problem if he shows up in August.
I will say this, Steve, along those lines. If it takes Gronk, 4 or 5 weeks to get in shape, Steve, that could be 4 or 5. I mean, when the season starts, Steve, to hit his stride. Steve, that could be 4 or 5 weeks where they don't have Chris Godwin. And
yeah.
If Gronk's not particularly efficient, and especially with that first month schedule, you know, that doesn't add up very well either.
But think of it this way. Who would you rather have? Gronk at 75% or Cade Otton at 100%?
I like Gronkowski lining up right next to my right tackle, Tristan Wirfs. And I feel I can make every 3rd and 2 behind those two guys. I do.
Well, see.
By the way, I'm not condoning if Gronk blows off training camp. I'm like you, Ira. I want to see him there. But I understand where he's coming from. And in his position and his stature of his career, stature is not the word I'm looking for, state of his career, I can see that happening.
Sage, your media brethren, so we need your media wisdom here, Ira, before we shop at BillCurryFord.com. We need, I need some wisdom here. Your media friends, Ira, a lot of media types, are sort of, saying, hey, the Bucks have had really good attendance at OTAs. It's very impressive, and a lot of veterans out there. Man, I just think that's just a bunch of nonsense. I don't really understand it, Ira. These guys work out year-round. It wasn't necessarily the case 25 years ago, but these players are staying fit year-round, and if you live in Tampa and you're working out anyway, why would you not come to a facility and get in a good practice with the guys who are your friends? I mean, everybody outside of a few additions, everybody knows each other on this roster. It's supposedly close. Why are we like praising all these guys for coming out to work out when they're working out anyway, and they can do it safely with their friends and not risk losing any money? I don't really understand it.
Yeah, I mean, you make a good point on the safety feature. You work out from a remote location, and you get hurt. That's the worst possible scenario. Lee, you're showing respect for the new regime of Todd Bowles by showing up. And Lee, I'm not sure that the Bucks are getting more of a veteran turnout than other teams. And I know one guy that hasn't been at too many OTAs, and that guy's name is Tom Brady. I don't hold it against Brady. It doesn't bother Buck fans, nor should it. But he's not here for the most part. He's working out on his own, and God bless him for it. He's the last guy we worry about, Lee. But, you know, I'm not jumping over, doing jumping jacks over Devin White showing up at OTAs.
I mean, you would like them to be there, sure. I understand it's voluntary, but I guess attendance at OTAs has got more meat to the bone as a story than saying, oh, Scotty Miller caught a 30-yard pass in underwear football.
Right, right.
Hey, Ira, before we head out, got a question for you, a philosophical question on what could be a hidden sign regarding the Brady-Arians relationship and just, you know, a lot of the themes that we talked about over many months here and all the hoopla of the media and stuff. So Bruce Arians was, and Lee brought this up a little earlier, talking when he referenced fullbacks with Ronald Jones, but Bruce Arians was adamant for years, and he was one of the earlier guys to do it. He doesn't believe in the fullback. Fullback is not part of his offense. He believes that if you have a good pass-catching tight end, a dual-threat tight end, you're better off using that guy, and it'll change the way defenses line up versus sticking a traditional fullback in there. And as you know, Ira, watching the Patriots all those years, Tom Brady played every single season with a fullback. That was the Patriots. Fullback, fullback, fullback. They were one of the last teams to really hold on to a full-time fullback. And it made some news earlier this year that they were finally ditching the fullback this year. So Brady's a fullback guy. and now Arians is gone. If we see a fullback or we see a tight end or like who is sort of like a Co-Keef type who, you know, is just probably strictly a blocking tight end, or we see a true fullback come in here, will that be any kind of sign that we can speculate on?
Well, the fullback's an endangered species. From a Hall of Fame perspective, they can't get in. I mean, even the old ones, you know, there was a guy that blocked for six different 1,000-yard rushers in his career.
Lorenzo Neal?
Yeah, Lorenzo Neal. He can't get a sniff. You could argue that Allstott was a fullback, although not a traditional one. Lee, if you're using a fullback and you're running back, and then you got Brady and five offensive linemen, and then you got a tight end, that leaves you two wide receivers instead of going three wide with one running back, one back in the backfield. To me, this team is built to go three wide. I'm sorry, especially when Godwin comes back. I'm not a big fan of a fullback-oriented offense, but it will certainly stamp the end of the Arians era in Tampa, if that should occur. Given the success Brady's had his 2 years in Tampa, absent a fullback, I don't see him putting his foot down saying, I want Co-Keef in my backfield.
Here's what I'll say about Co-Keef. And yeah, I saw him in rookie minicamp. I've seen him, obviously, the last couple weeks at OTAs. I understand it's underwear football. Underwear football lies to you more than it is a revelation. So far, he seems to be a better receiver, a better catcher of the football than what all his draft profiles suggest. His draft profiles basically suggested you had a big lummox out there who might catch a ball once in a while, but he'll level a guy at the line of scrimmage. Obviously, there's no hitting in underwear football, but from what I have seen, it seems as though he's a better catcher of the football than what his evaluations and analysis was coming out in a draft.
His draft profile, Steve, suggested he was a very one-dimensional player, you know, in terms of his blocking prowess and then stone hands and can't get any separation. I'm glad to hear Lee say what he said. Maybe they got a steal there.
Very smooth, to be honest with you.
Ira, Lee said underwear football lies to you, and I know that if you were playing football in your underwear, Ira, that would tell a lot of truths that we don't want any part of on this podcast. So, Ira, I'm going to let you go. It's a beach weekend. I know you've got some poker to play with some 90-year-olds. Hopefully you can fleece them of their Social Security checks. And when they call you to put all your chips in, you know, we know those barbecue chips aren't going anywhere.
A lot of magnifying glasses around the table, Steve, to try to read the cards.
What is your message to Bucks fans as we get inch even closer to June 1st?
Well, I think it's getting exciting, Steve. We're 2 months away from training camp. Brady says he's in tremendous shape. We think Gronkowski's coming back. They've had a nice offseason in terms of a couple of pickups. And I think the rest of the NFC's taking a little bit of a tumble. They don't have to worry about Devontae Adams in Green Bay, Von Miller with the Rams. I think the Bucks are well situated to make one hell of a Super Bowl run and give Brady a very nice send-off. The key is keeping Brady upright, as it has been the key since he arrived. And they've done a marvelous job in that regard.
All right, Eric, wear some sunscreen. We'll talk to you next week.